Father, as always, we come to your word. We know your word is full. There's such an enormous variety in your scriptures, the different personalities of the authors reflected in your word, the different skills, the talents, and yet always life, full, brimming with life. Some passages are more clear, some are more challenging, some are more direct, some to us might seem more obscure. As Peter says, sometimes Paul deals with difficult things that are easily misunderstood, and yet always full of life, always full of grace, always the word we need to hear. Lord, you speak life to us. You are our life. And so we pray, Lord, as we wrestle with this letter, this epistle from Peter, that you would enable us not just to grapple with the words on the page, but that the truths here would break into us, that we would savor them and feed on them, and they would accomplish their work within us. We pray for that, Lord, that your word would guide and direct and shape our thoughts and the trajectory of our lives. We ask this, Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you know if you're elect? How can you be sure that you're one of God's chosen people? Look with me at our text tonight in verse 10. Peter says, "Brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure." Peter is saying, in effect, make sure, be diligent and make sure that you're one of God's called people. Make sure that you're one of the elect. Make sure that you're one of God's chosen people. But how do you do that? How can you know if you're one of God's chosen people? How can you know if you are elect? I just want to remind you this evening that spiritual fruit is the evidence of knowing Jesus. Sometimes people get off track because they want to understand God's secret will. I've known people who have insisted that they were elect, even though there's nothing about it in their lives that would suggest they were really Christians. And I've known others who seem to be Christians, and yet they get off track because they worry, well, maybe I'm not elect. And I think we need to remember that God never calls us to try to gaze into the secret mind of God and figure out those secret things, but rather Scripture tells us that spiritual fruit is the proof or the evidence. That's the sign of knowing Jesus. And if you know Jesus, if you're trusting in Jesus, then that means you are elect. It means that God has chosen to open up your eyes and to give you his spirit and give you the gift of faith. If you're trusting in Jesus, then you certainly are elect. And how do you know if you're trusting Jesus? You know? How do you know if it's just head knowledge, if it's just truths that you affirm, or if you really believe it and you really trust? How can you know if you really trust Jesus? Well, Peter is writing to remind us that spiritual fruit and growth is the proof and evidence of knowing Jesus. Go back with me, back to verse 5 that we looked at last time. Peter says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. You know, virtue would be things like a good work ethic, with honesty and morality. And Peter is assuming that many of us, when we first come to Christ, might not be very virtuous. When you first come to know Jesus, maybe you're not honest, maybe you're not hardworking, maybe you're lazy or immoral. But now that you've come to know Jesus, we begin with faith. It all begins with trusting Jesus. But now that you have faith, he says, now add to your faith virtue. He's saying that now that you know Jesus, you need to be growing in your lifestyle, learning to work hard, learning to be honest, learning to be virtuous. You need to be growing in those areas. He says, supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. Again, the assumption is that maybe when you first come to know Christ, you don't know much. You don't know much about yourself. You don't know much about the Lord. You don't know much about the Christian life. But now that you've come to know Jesus, now that you trust Jesus, he says you should supplement your faith with virtue and with knowledge. That is, you shouldn't be satisfied to just have faith in Jesus, but trusting Jesus, you should be growing. You should be learning more about yourself, more about the Christian life, more about God, more about what he wants. He says, and then you should supplement your knowledge with self-control. Apart from Christ, we are often led by our emotions and by our feelings and by our mood. We can be impulsive and short-sighted. But now that you've come to know Jesus, well, you should make decisions not based on just how you feel, but on what you know about Jesus. Not just how you feel about yourself, but what you know about Christ. He said you should be growing in self-control. And then he says, and then supplement your self-control with steadfastness. You know? Without Christ, we're unpredictable, we're unreliable, we're unsteady, we're moody, we're tossed about by our passions and our selfishness and our circumstances and our desire. But if my life is now based on what I know and believe to be true about Jesus, I should become more dependable, more faithful, more reliable, more steadfast. I should be growing. So Peter says, supplement your steadfastness with godliness. Again, the assumption is that at least for many of us in many ways, when you first come to know Christ, you may be quite ungodly. I mean, that's the gospel, that while we are yet ungodly, while we're not virtuous, while we don't know much, while we lack self-control, when we're ungodly, Jesus comes and he gives his life for you. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for you. But now that we have come to know Jesus, God doesn't want us to remain ungodly. He wants to supplement our faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness. He says, and supplement your godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. That is, we should be becoming more and more like God, which means we should care about one another more. And we should love one another more and more sacrificially. That is, we should become more and more like Jesus. If you know Jesus, then you should be with him and you should reflect him and you should become more and more and more like him. Spiritual growth, spiritual progress, spiritual fruit is the evidence, it's the proof, it's the sign that you've come to know Jesus. In fact, Peter says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're growing in these areas, you will be fruitful and effective. You've come to know Jesus, and he says you don't want your knowledge to be ineffective. You don't want to be unfruitful. Rather, you want your knowledge of Christ to be fruitful and effective. And so you want to be growing in all these areas. And then we looked at this last time. We wrapped up last time. Verse 9, he says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. Peter's saying, you know, yeah, how can you be a Christian and yet not grow in these areas? Because spiritual growth and spiritual fruit is the sign, is the evidence that you've come to know Jesus. If you claim to know Jesus, but you're not growing in these areas, you'd have to be nearsighted. You'd have to be so nearsighted that you're blind. You must not be able to see Jesus who's washed you. Because if you're looking in faith to Jesus who has washed you and cleansed you, that's going to grow you and change you. I mean, growth and change and progress is the evidence that you've come to know Jesus. And so that's what Peter is talking about in our text this evening in verse 10 when he says, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. He's not saying that somehow you've got to figure out the secret will of God and who's elect and who's not. He's simply saying, if you're trusting Jesus, well, obviously God has chosen you and given you the gift of faith. But how can you know if you're really trusting Jesus? Well, if you're growing in these areas, then that shows that obviously you're trusting Christ and you're one of his. You don't want to be one of those people that you look at and you think, well, he might be a Christian. You don't want to be one of those people that, well, he says he's a Christian. Peter says, you want to be growing. You want people to see you making progress in all these evident in these areas so that it's evident that clearly you belong to Jesus because look how Christ is changing your life. He says, for if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, Peter is saying, this is the normal pattern. This is the way we get to heaven. Not by the skin of your teeth. You know, you don't want to be one of these people who dies and then your family members say later, well, I hope he was a Christian. You know, maybe he came to know the Lord on his deathbed. No. Peter says, this is the way. He said, in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just sort of squeaking in, but he says, in this way, by growing in these areas, because you're trusting in Christ and you know Jesus, you're growing in all these different areas. And the idea is you continue growing and maturing and ripening up until that day which God takes you to be with him. Peter says, that's the pattern that that God intends, that the believer begins with faith, but doesn't end there. Trusting in Jesus should mean that you're growing. You're always making progress. You're working hard and you're being diligent to grow in all these areas to become more and more and more like Jesus. That spiritual growth and fruit is the evidence of knowing Jesus. And therefore, Peter says, remember these areas in which you should be growing. It may seem a little odd tonight that we went back and went over those verses that we went over last time, but that's exactly what Peter's doing tonight. In verse 12, he says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Well, he's talking about those things we talked about tonight, faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. Peter says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Peter's writing to Christians. He says, you know these things. You know you're supposed to be virtuous. You're supposed to be growing in your knowledge. You're supposed to be making progress. Peter says, you know these things, but I intend to say them anyway. Peter says, I know you know these things, but I intend to repeat them and to remind you as often as I can. He says, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Peter says, this is my calling. This is my job. As long as I'm around, as long as I'm alive, I want to keep reminding you, you need to be growing in these areas. You need to be growing in virtue. You know, sometimes we just become careless with our Christian life. Especially when you've been a believer for a while, it's easy to become sloppy and careless. Peter says, I want to keep reminding you and encouraging you. You should be growing in these areas. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You should be making progress. You should still be learning. You should be learning more about yourself and the Bible and the Lord and the Christian life. You should be growing in self-control. You should be maturing. Peter says, I want to keep stirring you up. I want you to be on fire. I don't want you to grow cold. I want you to keep pressing on. I want you to be as excited and zealous as when you were a new Christian. He says, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Peter says, God has made it known to me that I'm not going to be around long. Okay? I'm going to be putting off my body soon. I'm going to be with the Lord soon. And Peter says, that's why I am so concerned. You know, what would you do if you knew you only had a short time left to live? I mean, how would you spend that time? What would be most important? That a limited amount of time causes you to think about priorities and what matters most in life. Peter says, I'm not going to be around much longer. I know that. And so this is what's most important to me, that I see God's people grow. He says, I know you've heard it before. You've been taught these things. You believe them. But he says, I'm determined to keep reminding you and stirring you up to remind you need to be growing. You need to be growing. How you live matters. Okay? What you know matters. Making progress matters. And so he says, I don't have much time left. I'm going to spend my last days reminding you and stirring you up that you need to be growing. People should see you making progress. And he says, and I'll make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Peter says, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, while I'm still here. Not just to remind you of these things now, but I'm going to do everything you can so that even when I'm gone, you'll remember these things. I'm like a parent that's going to keep saying them over and over again so that even after I'm gone, they're going to stick in your head and ring in your ear. Peter's saying, I'm even going to write these things down and repeat myself over and over because I want you to remember these things long after I'm gone. Because the most important thing in life is that you know Jesus. It's that you know Jesus and that you become more and more like Jesus. It brings honor and glory to God for you to know Jesus and trust Jesus and become more and more like Jesus. And the fact that you're growing is the proof and the evidence that you do know him. And so Peter says, with my last little bit of life, my last time left, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to harp on this, he says. You need to be growing in your virtue. Okay? How you live matters. Your lifestyle matters. Your honesty matters. Your work ethic matters. Your purity matters. He says, you need to be growing in your knowledge. You should be learning. We don't stop growing. He says, I'm going to do everything I can to remind you that the self-control is important. You need to learn self-discipline. There's things you've got to say no to. What you look at and what you listen to and how you speak and how you think. These things matter. You should be controlling yourself better. And you need to be more dependable, more reliable, more steady. You should not be thrown back and forth by your circumstances and up and down with mood swings. You need to be more steadfast. And he says, you need to be more godly. You need to show the world by your life more what God is like. People need to see the Lord in you. And if they're going to see the Lord in you, you got to love one another. You know, Jesus says that way people will know you're my disciples when you love each other. Peter's talking about brotherly affection, love for other Christians, and then love, sacrificial love for one another. How is the world, how are other people ever going to come to know Jesus if they can't see it in you? Peter says it's essential that you know Christ and that others come to know Christ. And since spiritual fruit and growth and progress is the evidence that you've come to know Christ, he says, I'm going to keep reminding you and I'll keep trying to stir you up and I'll do everything I can so that you'll keep growing in all these areas so that it'll become obvious to you and to the world around you that you do know Jesus. And so the world around us will begin to see who Jesus is, that through you, people come to know what Christ is like. Because Christ is virtuous. And Christ is the fountain of all knowledge and understanding. And Christ is the essence of self-control and steadfastness. And Christ is the very picture of godliness. He reveals, he is the image of the invisible God. And who is love except God himself, who loves us and gave his life for us? You know, the way you live your life is essential that others through you might come to know Jesus. And so Peter says he's gonna keep stirring us up. He says, remember these areas in which you should be growing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, our Christian life is not the smooth upward graph that we would like it to be. When we seem to make progress in one area, we seem to fall backwards in another area. Sometimes the Christian life just seems to be seeing and discovering greater and deeper depths to our sin. As you shine the light of your word upon us, and we find less and less reason to trust in ourselves and and more reason to trust in you. And yet, O Lord, your word of life is like a living seed that you've planted within us. And you use your word. You use the encouragement and the promptings from men like Peter to convict us and to remind us and to stir us up. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up. And you would stir up within us that living word that you've planted in us. That you would stir up that faith within us. That we might be diligent to grow in these different areas. Lord, we all have so much room to grow. And we ask you to show us our blind spots. Expose to us our areas of need. Not that we might despair. Not that we might be turned in on ourselves and become introspective. But that we might bring those areas to you and we might grow. Lord, we want to see this spiral of growing fruitfulness and godliness. We want to be fruitful and effective in our knowledge of Jesus. By your grace, Lord, we've come to know you, and we long to be changed by you. We long to be more like you. So we pray, Lord, that you'd put your hand upon us as the potter works with the clay. Mold us, Lord, and make us more like Jesus. We pray for that. Lord, we pray for the zeal, for the diligence, for the energy, for the effort, for the faith, that we might grow in virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness, that we might grow in godliness and brotherly affection and love. May these be ours and increasingly so. Lord, may we become more like Jesus. May we grow in our knowledge of you, that others around us would know you as well. We pray for that, Lord. We pray that people would see Jesus in us, in our weakness, in our joy, in our laughter, in our families, in our relationship, in our struggles. We pray for that, Lord, that others would see Jesus in us and come to know Jesus through us. Lord, help us to grow, that it might bring glory and praise to Jesus. Lord, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.